Okay, now we've got our next interviewee on the line. We have Adele Welsh with us. Adele is a convener of Geelong Women Unionist Network, or GWUN for short, and we've invited her in the show to talk about the recent closure of libraries in Geelong, as well as the other cuts by the Geelong Council to basic services. And there have been protests against the closure of libraries in Geelong, which Adele has been involved in. Welcome to the show, Adele.
Hi, Lou. Hi, Jacob. Thank you so much for having me on.
Great. And we've also got a third presenter today, Gabrielle DeFalchio. So Gabrielle will be asking you some questions as well.
Sure. Hi, Gabrielle.
Great. Okay, well, why don't you start by telling us what is going on in Geelong? Why are the libraries closing or being threatened with closure in Geelong?
Well, it's a really long and quite convoluted story. So as far as I can work out, so COG, the City of Greater Geelong, have recently released their draft budget, and so have Geelong Regional Library Corporation. So the Library Corporation is the outsourced body who runs our local libraries, and it's made up of five member councils from the wider Greater Geelong area. So COG, City of Greater Geelong, and the four other councils essentially fund the Library Corporation to run all the libraries in our area. So the Library Corporation is saying that the COG draft budget doesn't include funding for the operating costs of two new libraries at Drysdale and Armstrong Creek, and that's left the corporation with a budget shortfall of over $1 million, so about $1.1 million. So their response has been moved to close some libraries entirely, and to cut the opening times of lots of other libraries. So Barwon Head, Geelong West and Highton are slated to close entirely, and then Chilwell Library is going to become an unstaffed model. Two libraries, Cario and the new library at Drysdale, are going to close on Sundays, and then there's about half a dozen other libraries that are going to close earlier on Saturdays, and there's going to be reduced services at the main Geelong Library and Heritage Centre. So the new library in Drysdale, Borongook, cost the community over $9 million. And of that $9 million, COG contributed about $8 million of the money. So it's really unconscionable of COG to spend all that ratepayer and taxpayer money to build a new facility and then to turn around and not fund its running and operational costs. Unlike the City of Greater Geelong, the Library Corporation are saying that they're not going to make any permanent staff redundant in this upcoming financial year, but they haven't made any commitments that I'm aware of on what's going to happen to casual staff. And they are saying that they're going to have to look at how or even if they fill vacancies over the next financial year. So there's a really big blame game going here on here in Geelong. And our libraries, I guess, are the meat in the sandwich.
Hi, Adele. Good to speak to you today. My question is, can you talk to us a bit about who are the people who have really been affected by these library closures, and what has been the response from the people who really need these libraries to stay open?
Sure. So if I can just talk a little bit about libraries. So libraries are about far more than books. Libraries are a vital community hub, and they're one of the last, if not the only, remaining places where people can go with no expectation that they'll spend any money. They have meeting rooms, free internet, online resources. They run courses and they help people with technical issues. They've got free newspapers and magazines. they're a safe, warm and free place for families and communities to gather and spend time if perhaps they're needing a little bit of respite from their world. Libraries run really important early literacy groups and events to support parents with developing their little ones' early literacy. And libraries help kids to develop a lifelong interest and a love of books and reading. They run courses on a whole range of topics, and they help lots of people in the community with all sorts of tech and internet access and issues. And so nearly everyone in the community is affected by library closures. Students, families, children, new mums who might be feeling a bit lonely or isolated, older people who might need a bit of company or who might just want to read the paper for free, homeless people who might need some respite from the weather. Libraries run regular baby and toddler time groups. They show kids films during school holidays, and they have regular film times for community members at other times. Numerous community groups use library meeting rooms. Schools have excursions to local libraries. So libraries are a vital, vital part of any community. And the community down here is quite rightly really enraged. I actually don't recall a time when there's been this much community outrage in Geelong over a local issue. So there is a really big community fight back happening, and communities are vowing to save our libraries. That's probably an easier question to ask who isn't affected by the library closures.
That's right. Well, thank you, Adele, for explaining all of that about the fact that libraries are not just about books anymore. They're this massive community hub. And also, as governments and corporations have pushed everyone online, it means that for that work that would have been done by face-to-face staff in, like, Centrelink, just for an example, has now shifted into public libraries with people who don't have computers at home or internet at home, and often asking library staff to help them fill in forms for Centrelink or immigration or the pension or tax office or whatever it is. So, yeah, thanks for explaining all of that. I was wondering if you could also talk a little bit about the other budget cuts, because my understanding is that the Geelong Council is doing a real slash and burn, not just to the libraries, but to other basic services as well.
Yes, they really are. And so COG are saying that they've got significant budget issues. And we all are feeling the bite of inflation and cost of living pressures. So I do accept that COG, like the rest of us, are feeling the pinch a little bit. But sadly though, there's been lots of media here in Geelong showing that highly paid executives at council have jumped by over 40% recently. And 2 or 3 years ago, in 2020, 37 council executives earned more than $150,000 a year. So those 37 workers, just the 37 of them on their own, would have got around $5.5 million a year, just for those 37 workers. Or highly paid execs, I probably wouldn't call them workers. currently under investigation on its recruitment processes for a new CEO, and the state government's actually installed monitors into the city to oversee that process. So while the rest of us are struggling to keep our heads above water in this post-COVID recovery period, COG doesn't really seem to be acting in a financially responsible way, and their response to their budget issues has been to either underfund or defund vital community resources and services. So instead of being responsible money managers, they're planning to cut leisure and recreation services. They're going to close some public swimming pools over winter. And they've recently restructured their community life directorate, and they've cut 18 to 19 positions out of that department. And those positions give support and advice to some of the most vulnerable people in our community, older people, people experiencing family violence and homelessness. And that department also provides gender equity and multicultural services. So Geelong, just like the rest of the country, we're really feeling the cost of living crisis down here. And there's been recent data to show that three of the top eight most socioeconomically disadvantaged suburbs in the whole state are right here in Geelong. We've got one of the tightest rental markets in the whole state. We're experiencing a family violence crisis. Family violence reports have really spiked here over the last couple of years. And as well, we're really proud of our multicultural heritage here in Geelong, and we're a community that really celebrates our multiculturalism. So for lots of us here in Geelong, it's like COG are abandoning our most vulnerable residents, and they're ripping pieces of our hearts out with their attacks on libraries and multiculturalism and older people and women. It's just absolutely outrageous what they're doing.
Yeah, that it really does sound pretty horrible. And also all for the benefit of the big executives who are getting paid the mega bucks. Yeah. Well, to sort of continue on with that, how can you tell us a bit about the Fight Back campaign and about the protests for these services? And can you tell us a bit about, like, the different groups that are involved in this campaign?
Yes, there's a really big Fight Back campaign. Geelong people are really community-minded, and we're very strong unionists as well. And we're a community who really value our libraries and our council services. So I've been really heartened by the community response. So my union, the ASU, who look after library and council workers, is running a really strong campaign. We had a big community protest outside the last council meeting when the draft budget was released and was passed by our councillors. We had a really well-attended community meeting at Geelong Trades Hall last night to plan and advise the community on how they can respond to the budget. Last night the community really shared their outrage and anger at council, and they spoke at length about their love for libraries and their commitment to keeping libraries open. And lots of local grassroots community groups have sprung up kind of almost overnight. So there's Save Geelong West Library, there's Friends of Barwon Heads Library and Save Hyden Library. So they're all running campaigns and protests, and they're getting really active in protesting and opposing the closures. And I saw yesterday, I think it was in the Geelong Advertiser, that a young mum started a campaign to keep Kardinia Pool open all year. And for those of you who don't know, Kardinia Pool's kind of like a Geelong icon. It's, you know, it's one of our local treasures, and it's another service that the public really love and really value. So the Fight Back campaign here is pretty big.
Well, I think that's probably all we've got time for. Thanks, Adele. But thanks heaps for coming on the show. And explaining about this campaign. And there is going to be a snap rally in support of Geelong West Library this Saturday at 9:30, just outside the Geelong West Library. So anyone from Melbourne who'd like to give solidarity, that would be really appreciated. For listeners who didn't hear the beginning of the interview, Adele Welsh was just talking about the planned library closures and other slashing of services by the Geelong City Council and the campaign to fight back and stop these cuts from happening. Adele is from the Geelong Women Unionist Network and is part of the campaign. Thanks heaps, Adele.
Thank you so much. Can I just very, very quickly share another...
Go for it.
Protest. So there's an ASU community protest outside City Hall at 6 o'clock on Tuesday, and I do believe there's a council meeting happening then. And we're really encouraging people to submit a budget submission to council. So community can just go to, they can just type in "Have Your Say Geelong Council Budget Submission," and a link will come up to guide people on how to go through that process. And I've got a link on our one page, and I'll try and get it up on the Trades Hall page as well. And we're also hoping to have a budget resource pack available hopefully today to help guide people on how to make the submission.
Great. Thanks heaps, Adele.
Thank you very much, Sue. Thank you all so much for having me on.
All good, and good luck with the struggle.
Thank you. Take it easy, comrade.
Thanks.
Bye.